Welcome to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design, the podcast that dives deep into the heart of thriving through pregnancy, birth, and beyond. If you aspire towards exceptional parenthood and are looking to navigate the joys and challenges of raising children in our fast-paced world, you've found your tribe. I'm Philippa Scott and...
I'm Philippa Cox. Together we're Philippa Squared. Unpacking the real talk on modern parenting, peeling back the layers of its complexity from pregnancy and birth to the adventures beyond. This podcast is your guide to unraveling the nuances of parenting in today's world.
And we're keeping it real, sharing stories and having conversations with insightful guests, giving you clarity and direction on your parenting journey.
This is where your adventure begins. Transforming the challenge into a journey of wonder and joy, where you discover ways to craft your own parenthood map, not just follow the one handed down to you.
So settle in, get comfy, and let's laugh, learn, and grow into the parent you aspire to be. Welcome to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design.
Hello and welcome to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design. I'm Philippa Scott and with me is my beautiful co-host Pippa Cox. Hi, Pippa.
Hi, Philippa. Now, what are we going to be talking about today, Philippa?
Well, we're talking today about the differences in generations and how tricky it can be to be a grandparent, how tricky it can be to be a parent and have different parenting styles to your parents, and the kinds of things that that brings up within a person, within a relationship, and how, you know, maybe some ideas around how to move forward with all of that. So, you know, I actually have an Instagram page called Connected Grandparenting, and it's on Facebook too. I'm pretty sure. I don't do a lot of work in that space at the moment, but it's really, I created it and I started sharing things there, particularly on Instagram, because as a grandparent and a parent, and someone working with lots of moms, I know that this comes up a lot. This idea that we want to be able to involve our parents. So let's talk from a parent perspective. We want to involve our parents, the child's grandparents in their life, but often a lot of our own trauma comes from what they did or didn't do during our childhood. So it can be a very triggering space. It can actually be a time where we have to, not only are we trying to figure out parenting, but we're now having to deal with our own childhood trauma and the people who caused it. So it can be a really big, big time. It can be a huge time.
And also, Philippa, it's also a massive time for personal growth because you've got your parents coming in and they'll have their specific style. And then guess what you have to do? Put in boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that one of the things that we have to do?
Yes, it is. And I think it's really interesting because what a lot of parents hear from their parents is, well, we did it that way with you and you turned out just fine. Right. And a lot of that comes really from a lack of awareness, I guess, around the damage that might have been caused. And also a lack of willingness to look at what they did in terms of their parenting and how it might have impacted the different generations. Now, boundaries are important, but I would encourage people to not necessarily think about doing boundaries in the moment after the grandparent has already triggered you. That's not a very proactive approach, right?
You mean so, it's not okay to react that way?
Well, we're going to have, if we haven't dealt with our trauma, then we are going to have reactions, right? We're going to have them. Obviously, ideally, we want to be able to do our own work so that when our parents interact with our grandchild, we're not triggered and we can respond as opposed to react. That's the ideal scenario. But If we know that we're going to be in a situation, let's say we're going on a family holiday and we're going to be spending a lot of time with those grandparents, it is wise to set some rules beforehand or to share some things. So rules is probably not the right word. It doesn't actually have to be about setting boundaries so much as using it as an educational opportunity. And say to the grandparents, hey, I don't know if you know this, but I've been doing some really interesting learning recently. And what I've discovered is that the best way to create a secure attachment, to make sure that, little Betty doesn't have, issues with asthma or with mental health and so on, is to, not use cried out methods. Right? Or whatever it might be. So having some information and broaching it as a learning opportunity, remembering that for most grandparents, the internet wasn't available to them to learn about parenting. They learned from books, many of those books written by middle-aged white men who've never parented at all. And so they were very academic pieces of writing as opposed to real life information. And so, the way they parented was what they thought they were supposed to do at the time. And I've had this conversation with my own mother-in-law. She said to me, I think sometime around baby number three, she said, I wish I'd known that there was another way to do things when I was bringing up the boys. I left them in a cot for, until it was time to feed them again. And I'd bring them out, feed them, change them, and they'd go back. And they were just to cry in between. She said, I can see that there is a different and better way. And I wish I'd known about it. So remembering that often what they did was not necessarily what their heart called them to do, but what culturally they were meant to do. And it's a protective mechanism to say, well, you turned out just fine, because they actually didn't know better and they didn't have the information available to them to simply decide. And there wasn't 17,000 different parenting styles available. There are now.
No, there wasn't. There wasn't. There was just what you got. And the beauty thing now is because women are having babies later, when you get to like your late 20s, your early 30s, and you start to get to know yourself a little bit more, and you get to see your parents as people rather than your parents. And it's a stage of life that we all go through at some point. And when we see our parents as human beings, it also changes us as well, because we see their tribal cycle. If we give ourselves permission to, we can see, so that's why mum did this, or that's why dad did this, because they can see it from the grandparents.
Yeah.
I don't know if you went through that, but I know I went through that, and there's so many people that I know have gone through that period as well.
Yeah, totally. So, I guess coming at this interaction from a space of compassion. And, we talk about healing and breaking the cycle, right? We talk about breaking the cycle for the next generation. And that means doing the work for ourselves so that we're doing the work for our children. And there's this idea that we can't heal up, but I think in some ways we can. In some ways we can actually create the opportunity for the grandparents who caused your trauma to be re-educated, to open a world where they get to be part of your child's life and do things different and do things better because you've created the opportunity for learning. And it can actually be a real healing experience for them too. You know, I know in my own relationship with my granddaughter, I'm able to be in her world in a space that is so different to what it was when I was, you know, first parenting. I know so much more now. And, you know, she does have the advantage of a very open to learning grandmother. I want to continue to learn. I want to continue to be a better person tomorrow than I am today. And so that inspires me to continue to learn and to continue to grow. And so she has that. If your child's grandparents are not open and willing to learn, well, that's when you put those boundaries in place and you simply stand firm on what it is that you're choosing, and you create limited opportunities for them to impact that if they're not willing and open to learn at all. But I think sometimes the way we come at that opportunity to learn can make a big difference. If you are always reacting to what they're doing, you're going to create defensiveness. You know, they'll feel attacked. And that's never a good space to come from if we want to actually encourage learning and an opportunity for growth in another human being. But if we come at it and we come at it from a really genuine and curious place about how, you know, this is what I've learned. This is what I'm hoping to do with my child for these reasons. I would love you to share with me your wisdom, your ideas, and your thoughts on that. And how, given your years of parenting, how would you see a really effective way of implementing that into our lives? Now, you might have some people who will push back and say, oh, well, that's a shitty way to do it or whatever, but it's not going to be the majority of grandparents who are going to push back in that way. The majority of grandparents, if invited with the right heart space and the right intention, will be curious about how they can help support you in that journey. That's been
and
my
I love
experience.
This. I love what you said. It's not about saying, oh yeah, you know, you did it in your way, and you know, it's so much better in today's society in the way that we do it, which I've seen in the past, which gets your grandparents back up really quickly, doesn't it? Yeah. Because no one wants to know that they've done wrong. But to approach it from the standpoint and perspective of curiosity, mm-hmm. and nurturing, like, let's see how this actually works. Mm-hmm. It piques that curiosity, that need to actually do something good, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah, it also honors their wisdom and experience. You know, when I've spoken to grandparents, the thing they would like to experience as a grandparent is respect for their years. And in some way, you know, knowing that I'm a different person today, a different mother today than I was 21 years ago, comes from 21 years of parenting experience, of learning, of extra reading, of doing all the things. I am better today than I was then. What I would like my children to value is that, yes, I have made mistakes. I have learned from those mistakes. And I would love to share that learning with them so that they don't have to make the same mistakes. They're going to make others, but I would hope that they don't have to make all the same mistakes as I do or I did. And so I think it's important that we honor the wisdom that they do have. And it might not mean that they are completely aligned and that they're already on this journey or anything else. You might have to take them on quite a big journey in terms of them rethinking their own parenting. They might not have done any work around that, but they will have some wisdom somewhere that you can honor and that you can cherish. And if you can do a bit of due diligence and find that space, and it might be that they love cooking or woodworking or something else. You know, my children go to my mother for knitting and crocheting and, you know, sewing and all those things that my mum taught me how to do. But I just don't spend much time doing it at the moment, but she loves to pass those things on. So I encourage my children to go to her for those things because that there's wisdom and skills that she can pass on to them that are beautiful, and they're amazing things for her to share with them. So finding the niche, the thing that that grandparent can pass on that you really honor them for, and that will help them be more open to you in the space of your parenting because they feel like they're valued by you for something.
So true.
So they want to lift you up.
So true. Yeah. And Philippa, there is a certain amount of ageism in Western society, isn't there?
Yeah.
And particularly when it comes to mature parents and their teenagers. And it's happened when I was a kid as well, and it is happening now, that when you're a teenager, you don't think your parents know anything.
No, we lose all our wisdom at that point.
Absolutely. And the thing is that we kind of get it a little bit when we're in our 20s, that the more we grow in life, in Western society, the more ageism is rife in our society where we don't honour that wisdom that older people have. Yeah. We tend to put them in a little box. Yeah. And fair enough, times change and the society has evolved in the last 50 years, even in the way that I've grown has evolved massively. I remember thinking when I was a teenager, oh, there's never going to be a generation gap between me and the next generation like there was this time. Really? I didn't have much insight into the future, did I? But it is massive. It is massive. But regardless on what the previous generations have gone through, the pearls of wisdom that we've picked up along the way is nothing short of remarkable. And it's something that can be really tapped into. It can be like the most beautiful resource for grandchildren and their grandmothers and grandfathers.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think about that, Philippa?
Yeah, I think so. And understanding the different generations and how they've come to be where they're at is really useful. And I believe that when we're showing up with our own trauma with our parents, you know, because when you are parenting, it's the mirror, right? The thing that really triggers us is this idea that we might replicate the past. And that's what we're all desperately hoping not to do. We're desperately hoping not to hurt our children the same way that our parents hurt us. And so we often do it in different ways. We often hurt them in different ways because we're so desperately trying not to do it one way. We go over the top and overboard, and because we're reacting rather than responding, and we end up causing an issue somewhere else. So somebody who was neglected as a child might become hypervigilant and then cause an issue because they're being hypervigilant, right? So we don't want extremes in any of this. We want a real balance. And so when we can do our own work, when we come to the space where we are not reacting, but we are instead responding, we get to have those conversations with our parents in a really healthy way. And, you know, I'm talking about, I guess, the vast majority of people who, for whom their parent or their experience of being parented wasn't, you know, majorly violent, wasn't full of, you know, massive neglect and so on. Now, there are people out there who will have had that experience. And, you know, if your parents were those parents who beat you, who neglected to feed you and locked you in cupboards for days, they're not the people that you want to leave your children with. And yes, you need to heal from that stuff, but you might need to adopt some grandparents into your life so that you have some people around you that you can really share that experience with. So I'm not saying forgive and forget and that every parent should and grandparents should be allowed to have interactions with your children. That is absolutely not what I'm saying at all. But for the vast majority of people whose parents did the best they knew how and are just resistant and perhaps a bit controlling in how they interact with you, how they interact with their grandchild, and they just don't get it. You know, they just don't get it. They're the grandparents I'm talking about. And they're the ones who, with the right approach, can learn, can grow, and can have and be a really positive influence in the child's life. And in yours, somebody you can feel safe leaving your children with, who will adapt and learn your parenting style so that they can provide consistency for the children. And that's what we're speaking to. We're speaking to those people who really want to find a way to connect with the grandparents and show them a different way of being in that space. Yeah. What are your thoughts, Piffa?
Totally, totally. And it is it can be a real source of unhappiness between grandparents and their actual sons and daughters as well. I've seen that in quite a few different scenarios. Where the grandparents think that the way that they brought their children up, i.e. their children, was the correct way, and they cannot see the point of a certain parenting act. For instance, eating. Eating is huge, isn't it, Philippa?
Mm.
When you actually sitting down in a meal and your little 3-year-old, 4-year-old does not like what is set in front of them. And some parents will want their children to make their choice of what they need to eat. So if they don't want to eat that, then they will go and get something else to eat them for them to eat. Now that grandparent will go, what? Doing? What are you doing? When I was a young girl, we didn't have choice like this to eat. We just got what was handed to us and we had to eat it. It's like, okay, so did you have to eat it? Did you have to stay at the table for hours afterwards, just eating your peas, wishing your dog would come and sit down underneath the table so you could feed him the last little bit of vegetable so you could leave the table? Yes. So in one respect, they thought that was a really great way of instilling the values of food and nutrition and eating. And then in today's society, it's something completely different. And this can create a massive turmoil within an actual family. And this is what I'm talking about, values, about boundaries, I should say.
Mm.
About, okay, mum, we realize we are in your house and prime your children as well. So this is grandma's house. Grandma's doing what she's doing. Now, you know that this isn't what we're doing, so prime your children or prime your grandmother into what the style of parenting actually is. And this is where boundaries come in. And so it doesn't create that angst within that generation. It just doesn't create it. And it can create harmony because the kids know what their boundaries are, the mum knows what the boundary is. And the grandparents know what their boundary is as well.
Yeah. And you've picked a really good one because, you know, we with recessions and the depression and all sorts of other things impacting how we think about food, you know, I hate food waste. It's a really big one for me. But I also don't need my children to eat what I like, to like everything that I make. You know, when you're making food for six people, it's very unlikely everybody's going to like the same things. So I think when we have these conversations, we do need to talk about, okay, well, I hear you, Mum. I hear that that's how you did it and that was really important to you. Now, what I would like you to explain to me is why you think that that's the best way forward. Like, why did you do it that way? Why do you think I should do it that way? And really ask them to explain why, because most people don't know why, right? Most grandparents won't know why they did it. It's just how it was done. And so when they can articulate for themselves and realize for themselves, there actually isn't a why, except that that's how it was done. And there's no better reason than the, well, that's how it was done and we don't want to waste food. Okay, well, we cannot waste food. That's easy to fix. We simply don't put too much on their plate, or we give them a taste before we serve them, or whatever it might be. We cannot have food waste. But if that's your only, is that your only concern? And really delve deep into the whys, because in most instances, the whys just aren't there. And then you can explain your whys and have an adult conversation about these things, right? Actually have a get out and conversation. Totally.
And what do the whys signify? They signify your values.
Yeah.
Don't they? And so by unscrambling the whys, we've got the values, and we've got the values between the generations and how we actually parent.
Yeah.
Between the generations. And by understanding those whys and those values, it just creates that understanding of the parenting styles between the generations.
Yeah.
And acceptance.
You know what? At the end of the day, you don't.
That's in the utopian world, Philippa. That's in the utopian world.
At the end of the day, you don't need them to understand all your whys. If they're immovable on that, then just come to an understanding. I get that you don't understand my whys and you don't agree with them. I don't need you to agree. What I do need you to do is support me. Whether you agree with me or not, I need you to support me in what I'm doing. And let that be the agreement made. If they can't, and ultimately over time, remembering that this is a journey that you've gone on and they're going to need to go on this journey as well, and so it can take time, so be patient. Don't expect them to flip everything they know or think they know about parenting within even the first child or the first year or the first 5 years. There's a lot of work to be done and a lot of unlearning to be done as well. And that's even harder than just learning something when you're unlearning, because you're changing your own unconscious core beliefs as well. The things that you were brought up with, you've got to challenge all of that. That's a lot of big work. And I would encourage you again to do your own work, but encourage your parents to do their own work. Encourage them to go to a parent coach or somebody who can help them understand and peel back the layers of their own parenting that they maybe have some hang-ups around, so that they can get really clear. You know, why not?
Yeah.
Really committed.
Yeah. And what you're saying, all about communication is paramount. And that is another core thread that keeps on coming up with all our podcast episodes, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Is that effective communication in relationships. It's prime. And it's about how we're feeling and about how the meaning we're giving to certain elements in communication, not what they're doing to us, but how we are responding, how we are feeling. It's about that. It's about our values. It's about the boundaries. It's about knowing that life changes, that the generations change, and accepting all of that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah,
I just
I don't I personally, as a very, very, very hands-on grandmother, I could not imagine not being a part of my granddaughter's life. It would break my heart. And I would do, as a grandparent, if my daughter asked me to do my own work to be safe enough to be with my granddaughter, I would do that. Now, thankfully, I've done my own work, but, you know, and I continue to do my own work and learning, you know, as I move through life, just because that's who I am. But, you know, as parents, and we're kind of, when you're in that parenting space, you're stuck in the middle. You're the one doing all the work, right? You've got this young person to bring up, and then you're trying to affect change for the generation before. And unfortunately, that's kind of the work of this parenting generation, is to do the work and affect change so that cycles can be broken. And that's a lot of pressure, but, you know, I would do whatever it took to be part of my grandchild's life, because that's the other thing that grandparents are finding, is that they're being shut out of their children's lives, shut out of their grandchildren's lives. But because they are from a world where we don't do our own work, they are very often not even aware of what it takes to get back in to be a safe place for their children and their grandchildren. But there will be some people who are very open to that. They're very, share them this podcast with them, because, you know, I'm a grandmother. I get it. You know, and I think it's important that as grandparents, we start to think about, okay, yep, we've made some mistakes, and we can own our shit, and we can move forward, and we can do better for our children and our grandchildren. And, you know, I think so many of the young mums I speak to are so sad about the fact that they can't include their parents or their in-laws in their children's lives, and they miss out on the village that they so desperately want, all because their grandparents aren't a safe space for them, or make life more difficult than not having them at all. And that's really sad, and it's further deteriorating the village that so many women could have. So, you know, let's work together to overcome that. Don't be an empty nester grandparent who can't see their grandchildren because you can't get out of your own way. You know, do the work. Show up. You know?
So that's absolutely. And it's something about doing this work. It just makes life so much easier. Yes. You have so much more meaning in life.
Yeah.
Don't you, Philippa?
Totally.
You understand yourself. You understand humanity. You understand your kids. You understand your partner.
Mm. Yeah.
I love it. Absolutely love it. And the lives are changing by doing this work. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel so privileged to be able to work with families to create safety for them in their homes, and for, you know, for them even outside of their homes. You know, like, it's so big, the work that we're doing to create change for families. And, you know, families are the heart of community, and when, you know, we deserve to be able to get that right, to be able to
absolutely
support.
And when we're living in such a huge time in today's society, like, we're at the cusp of the most massive change in human history ever, and that is incredible. That it's mind-blowing knowing how quickly life is changing, and to be changing on such a conscious level as well. Loving it.
Yeah,
absolutely, yeah. Loving it. Wake up, world! It's awesome.
Absolutely,
it's the dawning of Aquarius. It's been happening over the last 40 years, and it will continue to happen.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for a beautiful conversation. I hope you got something out of it, folks. I hope that makes it easier moving forward with your grandparent, your grandchildren, whatever it might be, whoever you are listening to this, I hope you get curious about how you can impact change and how you can impact the relationships that you have for a better future. So thanks, Pippa.
Thanks, Philippa. Always a pleasure.
All right, so subscribe, follow along, share, share, share. We'd love to be able to share these messages with more people out there. Have a wonderful day and we'll talk to you soon.